Welcome to our program. Now, today I'll be preaching from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I'll begin in verse 8, and where we pick up there when the Apostle Paul is describing what it is to live as a Christian. The title of this message is Children of Light, and certainly those who live as Christians are to live as children of light. But now, this is the issue of the grace of God revealed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinners are saved by grace, but not only are they saved by grace, but we who are saved live our lives by the grace of God. Many people may have an idea or some sort of notion that a sinner is saved by grace, and then he preserves or keeps himself by his own power. But that's not the case when it comes to Christianity, true Christianity. That's a false form of Christianity. But true Christianity is grace all the way. Saved by grace, kept by grace, ultimately glorified by grace. Now, the Bible teaches that grace reigns or rules through righteousness. And that righteousness is not the righteousness of the sinner saved by grace. It's the righteousness of the sinner's Savior who saved him by grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the sovereign Savior. He is the Lord our righteousness. But the Apostle Paul picks up here in verse 8, speaking to the believers at the church in Ephesus. He says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now that you've been saved by grace, now are you light in the Lord. Now walk as children of light." Now that's pretty simple instruction if you understand grace, if you understand what light is. He starts out by reminding them what they were before they were born again by the Spirit, before they came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What were they? You were darkness. Now what is that darkness? Well, that darkness is the darkness of an unregenerate person, an unbeliever, one who does not know the Lord, one who does not trust the Lord Jesus Christ and rest in His finished work at Calvary for all of salvation, one who does not love Christ. It's the darkness of ignorance. They don't really know what it is to be saved. They really don't know their need of salvation. A person who goes through this life without seeing the need to turn to Christ for all of salvation and to trust Him and follow Him is a person who is in darkness, ignorant. He's ignorant of the true nature of God. God is holy. God is just and righteous. He must punish sin. You see, one day you will stand before a holy God and you must give an account. And the Bible teaches that the division of judgment will rest upon one thing. Are you in Christ or are you not? If you're not in Christ, if you're not represented by the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's not your substitute who died for your sins on the cross of Calvary and redeemed you from your sins, drank damnation dry, if you stand before God without having been washed in the blood of Christ from all your sins, without having been clothed in His righteousness for your entire and complete justification before God, if you stand before God without Christ, then you will be condemned forever, perishing. That's what the Scripture says. They're perishing. And they're in darkness now because they don't realize that God is so holy that He cannot save you. He cannot bless you. He cannot bring you into His presence or into heaven based upon your best efforts to keep His law, because your best efforts are not good enough. That's why salvation is by grace. If what you and I could do would be good enough to get to heaven, we would need Christ. And that's exactly what a sinner is saying when he's trying to work his way into God's favor, work his way to heaven. He's essentially saying he doesn't need Christ. He's denying Christ. That's unbelief. That's the darkness of self-righteousness. So those who do not know Christ are in darkness. Now, it is essential in order for sinners to be saved that they come to the light. Now, what is this light? Well, this light is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, first and foremost. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the last of the Old Testament prophets, describe Christ as the light of the world. He is light. And light means holiness. Light means purity. But light also means truth. And Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. So now those who are in darkness, they're ignorant of God. But now they're also ignorant of themselves. It's like this. We all know people who have gone to the doctor for checkups. And they found out that they had some dreaded disease, such as cancer, or some kind of a disease like that, that they did not know they had. And that's the way it is with all men by nature, before they become children of light, before they come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You have a dreaded disease, a deadly disease, a soul-damning disease, and you don't know it. And that dreaded disease is the disease of sin. Now, somebody may say, well, I know I'm a sinner. But do you know the extent of your sin? My friend, if you're not trusting Christ and Him alone and His finished work on the cross for all of salvation, you don't know. You may say, well, I'm not perfect. You may say, I know I'm a sinner. But you don't really know how, you don't know the extent and the deadliness and the seriousness of your disease. Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 7. He spoke of knowing of his life before God revealed himself to Paul. And he said, I had not known sin, but by the law. But he said, when the commandment came, when God showed him the extent of the law, he said, sin revived and I died. I saw how much of a sinner I was and am. You see, man by nature in Adam is so sinful that even our best efforts to obey the law are an abomination unto God. Scripture says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. Well, what is highly esteemed among men? Religion, morality. Now, there's nothing wrong with morality in and of itself. We all ought to be moral people. But what we have to understand by way of knowledge from God is that our best efforts at morality cannot save us. The Bible teaches that by deeds of law shall no flesh be justified, declared righteous in the sight of God. So this darkness is the darkness of ignorance of our true state as depraved sinners who cannot save ourselves, who cannot make ourselves righteous by our best efforts. A whole life of efforts to obey the law would not make us righteous. Next, the person who is in this darkness is ignorant of God's one way of salvation. And that is in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is light. He is the way of salvation. And that way of salvation includes who He is, the glory of His person. Christ is God, and He is man without sin. He's God and man in one person. Which means this. It means that He is able to save His people to the uttermost. Any sinner who comes to God through Christ, any sinner who comes to the mercy seat, resting in Christ, begging for mercy, shall be saved. Because why? Because Christ is able. And then He's willing to save His people from their sins. The Bible says in John chapter 13 and verse 1 that He loved His own people, His sheep, He called them in John 10, to the end. That means He loved them to the finishing of the work. And the work that He had to do was to obey the law perfectly in their stead and to go to the cross of Calvary under their sins, charged to Him, and suffer and bleed and die on that cross as payment to the justice of God for their sins. That's our only hope. The Bible says Christ came into the world to save sinners. He died for them. That's what sin demands. And when the sins of His sheep were charged to Him, He had to die. Now, it was His one offering that brought about the full payment, the full redemption, and the establishment of righteousness, which ensures the salvation of all His people. Now, don't remain ignorant of the glory and the holiness of God. Don't remain ignorant of your own sinfulness and your depravity and your inability. And certainly don't remain ignorant of the glory of Christ and Him crucified, His finished work, His blood, and His righteousness imputed for all of our salvation. Now, Paul says that's what you were. You were in darkness. Now, some people are in the darkness of lawlessness and immorality, open rebels against anything religious, anything in society, anything that has anything to do with God. But other people are ignorant and blind in their religion. And so either way, without Christ, we're nothing. That's the point. Now, he says in verse 8, "For you were sometime darkness, but now." Now, the "now" here refers to the present of their lives, having been born again by the Spirit of God. Christ told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. In other words, in order for us to get out of that darkness and to come to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ, we must be born again. Now, why is that so? Well, by nature, as we're born into this world in Adam, we're fallen men and women. We're sinful, depraved, spiritually dead. Now, we have physical eyes by which we can see things in this world. But by nature, without being born again, without the grace of God, we have no spiritual eyes. We cannot see the glory of the spiritual things of salvation, the spiritual things of God in Christ. And so we must be born again. We must be given spiritual eyes so that we can see things spiritually that we couldn't see before. And that's why the Lord told His disciples, when they looked to Him and when they confessed Him to be the Messiah, He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." By the same token, we must be given spiritual ears to hear. When we're born physically, we have physical ears by which we can hear the things of the world, the sounds of the earth. But you see, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit from Christ gives us spiritual ears so that we can hear things that we didn't hear before. Now, basically what that means is this. When you hear the gospel, the good news, the jubilee trumpet, as the Old Testament put it in some cases, when you hear that joyful sound, it means something to you. It's life and death. It's like this. If you went to the doctor and he diagnosed your disease and he said, "Now you have deadly, life-ending cancer," and you get despondent, a feeling of just remorse and sorrow comes over you. You see that you're dying, and in your mind, you can't do anything about it. You cannot heal yourself. You're not a doctor. You don't have the cure, if there is a cure. But then the doctor makes a statement. He says, "But your cancer is curable." Your ears perk up. He's speaking things that you hear that means something to you. Now you're interested. You reach out and say, "Doctor, give me that cure." And that's the way it is with the gospel when God gives you ears to hear. You see, you're a sinner. You cannot save yourself. You don't deserve salvation, and you cannot earn salvation. The only thing you deserve and the only thing you've earned is death and damnation. But the preacher comes along with the message of grace and says, "There's a cure. There's salvation. Now perk up your ears and listen. I'm going to tell you where it is." And it's in Christ and Him crucified. It's in the grace of God. "For by grace are you saved, through faith. But that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Look to Christ, sinner. Look to the Lord and be saved. That's what the Scripture says. God is a just God and a Savior. He can honor His holiness and His justice and His righteousness, while at the same time He can be a loving, merciful, and gracious Father. And that's what happens when you come into the light. You see the glory of Christ, and you see the assurance of salvation that's based upon all that He accomplished at Calvary. When you come into the light, you hear things and that mean something. They're valuable to you. This is a joyful sound. It's a sound of salvation that you didn't hear before. And He gives you a heart to understand. The heart is the mind, the affections, the will. He draws out your affections to trust Christ and to love Him. Now, that's what He says. "Now are you light." And listen to what He says in verse 8. "Now are you light in the Lord." There's no light in us. There's no light in the world. There's no light in religion. But there's light in the Lord. For He is the light. And this is the light of himself as his glory is manifested. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As we said, he's the God-man, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Book of Hebrews chapter 1 says he's the brightness or the effulgence of the glory of God. If you want to see God, look to Christ. And then the light of his word, his gospel, is light. It shows us things that we don't see by nature. It shows us things that man cannot show us. It shows us the way of salvation by his grace. Now he says, walk as children of light. In other words, you've been brought into the light. You've been born again by the Spirit. Now walk as children of light. Now what does that mean? That means two things. Walk in the truth. That is, be a walking manifestation of the truth of how God saves a sinner. Don't go around here bragging and boasting as if you earned salvation. That's not walking as a child of light. The person who walks like that is walking as a child of darkness. When you walk as a child of light, you walk in humility, knowing that you haven't earned salvation, none of it, and you don't deserve it. That you're a mercy beggar, as one man put it. You're a sinner saved by the grace of God. You're not here to promote yourself. You're here to promote Christ. You're not here to exalt yourself. You're here to exalt Christ. And you do this in your doctrine, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Scriptures. That's why we must stick to the Word of God if we're going to walk as children of light. We can go to the opinions of men. We can go to the philosophies of men. We can go to the ideas of men. But that's not light. There's only light in the Word of God. This is the light. David said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet." And so we testify as light. In other words, our testimony is not what we've done for God, but what He's done for us in Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 14, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then, secondly, we walk as children of light when we walk in obedience to the Word of God. A person who says, well, since salvation is by grace, therefore I don't have to be obedient, I can go out here and sin as much as I want to, is not walking as a child of light. He's walking as a child of darkness. And that kind of testimony reveals the absence of grace. You see, grace is not just something we hear. Grace is not just something we say. Grace is not just something we agree with. Grace is something we live. So we live as children of light, seeking to be conformed to Christ, seeking to love as He loved, seeking to obey as He obeyed, seeking to honor our Heavenly Father and our dear Savior by our testimony, our actions, our attitudes, our words, our relationship with people. This is how we're to do it. Now, notice he says, walk as children. Now that tells us this, we're not to walk in order to become children, but we're to walk because we already are children. It's just like a person who's born physically. They learn to walk as they grow. In other words, they don't start walking in order to be created or to be born. That'd be impossible. That's putting, as somebody said, the cart before the horse. They're given life, and they are born, and then they grow and they begin to walk. Well, it's the same way spiritually. We walk as children of light because God sovereignly, through His Spirit, from His Son, has given us life. And then we're born again by the Spirit of God. And then we walk because we already are His children. And that's a key point because that establishes the motive of our walk. You see, in this thing of obedience, in this thing of honoring God, in this thing of walking, the motive is everything. If you're walking, if you're seeking to obey the Word of God in order to be saved, that's darkness. That's works religion, you see. That's not grace. That's not a child of light. If you're walking or trying to be obedient in order to earn your rewards in heaven, that is not grace, my friend. Now, hear me well on this because a lot of people are confused here. Believers are not saved by grace and then earn their rewards by their works. That is not so. You see, everything in salvation, everything in the life and the walk of a believer is grace, grace, grace. At no time can I earn my reward from God. Christ is my reward. Heaven is my reward. And He earned it. Earned it all. And I know what preachers will tell you about that, but that's not so. Now listen to me. The walk of a child is to walk as a child who has been made so by the grace of God. So if you're trying to be obedient in order to earn your position in heaven, then my friend, you're not walking as a child of light. You're still walking as a child of darkness. First of all, now let me tell you something. Salvation is for sinners who don't deserve what they get. Christ is the one who earned it. And when God saves a sinner, no matter who they are, we're all equally saved, equally justified, equally entitled to heaven's glory, and it's an inheritance, the Scripture says. We don't earn an inheritance. Somebody else earns it, and they die, and they bequeath it to us. Well, Christ is the testator of the covenant. He earned it, He died, and He bequeathed it to His people, and He sovereignly dispenses it to them. So Paul, he brings out a parenthesis here in verse 9. He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now let me say a few words about this. First of all, he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. Paul spoke of the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians chapter 5. And he mentions several things. He mentions love. He mentions faithfulness. He mentions all the things that the Spirit of God inspires and implants within the hearts of God's people. And he says the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, He plants within your heart all goodness. Now, where do we find all goodness? Well, we don't find it within ourselves. We find it in Christ. Christ said that the rich young ruler, there's none good but God. Speaking of Himself too. The rich young ruler called Him God, but he didn't called Him good, but he didn't believe that Christ was God, that Jesus of Nazareth was God. So Christ said, well, why do you call me good then? Well, we find all goodness in Christ. Now, we walk in Him. And that's the goodness that God gives us and implants within our hearts. And then He says it's all righteousness. Well, where do we find righteousness? We find it in Christ. And so we follow Him. And that's what the Holy Spirit implants in our hearts so that we can walk as children of light. We need righteousness in order to be accepted before God. Where am I going to find righteousness? My best efforts still fall short. Even as a born-again sinner, a born-again believer, even as a child of God, my best efforts to love Him. Now listen, let me say this. I should put out my best efforts to love God, to love my neighbor, to love my fellow brethren. But my best efforts to love in all those areas still fall short of the standard. Now, where am I going to find perfect righteousness? I'm going to find it in Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit leads me to. That's who the Holy Spirit leads me to. And then He says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all truth. Now, where am I going to find truth? Well, I'm going to find that in Christ too. Now, you say, well, you keep saying that. Well, another way of saying it is what the Apostle Paul said in another place. He says, Christ is all. And in all. Christ is all to the believer, and He dwells within every one of His people, all of them equally, by His Spirit and by His Word. So that we walk as children of light when we walk according to the Spirit in all goodness, in all righteousness, and in all truth. As we rest in Christ, rest in what He accomplished on Calvary, and as we seek to follow Him whom to know is life eternal. Do you understand that? That's what it is to be children of light. Anything less is darkness. And you certainly cannot add anything to Christ. Because to add anything to Him is to deny Him. Paul said that in Galatians chapter 5. He said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Salvation is not Christ plus, it's Christ alone and what He accomplished. You see what I'm saying, my friend? Your only hope, my only hope, is to come to Him. It's to trust Him alone for all goodness, all righteousness, all truth. There's no other way. Walk as children of light. And those who are still in darkness, listen to what I'm saying. Don't remain in darkness. I know it takes the Word of God and the power of God, but don't remain there anymore. Look to Christ. I hope this message has been helpful to your understanding of the Scriptures. And if you'd like to get a copy of this message, listen to the announcer as he gives you the details. The title of this message is Children of Light. And I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.